Throughout this month, we've been exploring some popular summer hits alongside the songs of the Psalms. The Book of the Psalms, you remember, was a songbook for ancient Israel long before it was ever in written form. It was passed around word by word, song by song. The Psalms that taught the people about the character of God and articulated their human experience. Summer songs often have that kind of energy, that excitement of a warm summer day with possibility. And so the first week, you might recall, we looked at dancing in the streets with Martha and the Vandellas alongside King David dancing in the streets as well. The next week, Jamie preached for us on the powerful song, I'll Stand By You, reminding us of God's faithfulness in the midst of trial. And last week, we recalled God's mercy in the midst of our metaphorical wipeouts, complete with a little drum mixed in there as well. This week, we look at a different kind of a summer song, Cruel Summer. This is not that beach day or block party feel. It's not the energy of possibility. This is the rainy day when you are planning to work in the yard. This is the chilly summer day when you'd like to just bask in the sunlight. It comes from that place of the disappointment, the waning idealism of a season being played out in each and every moment of the season. It's what parents know when they're balancing the wanting summer to be the perfect time to spend with your children and pulling their hair out waiting for school to be back in session. Do you remember the Staples commercials? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah, that kind of a feeling. Families know as they struggle between the idea of loving the whole family getting together and negotiating the minefield of who talks to who and who doesn't talk to whom. I think that happens in most families. It's the breakup of a marriage that you thought was going to last forever. It's the death of a partner that you're sure was going to be there through all of life's hard times. It's watching the choices of your growing children, thinking, I've taught them something better than that. It's the betrayal of a friend who chooses the other side of the argument that you're having. It's the loss of a pet, the one who sat with you day in and day out when other people seem to have left you. That is the cruel summer. I don't know if you remember the song from the 1980s. I'm going to ask Keith to play just a little bit of it for us. It really was the 1980s. Thank you. April Summer, you might remember, for those of us who enjoyed it originally in the 1980s, was performed by Bananarama. Kind of recalling some memories here. 1983, first in Britain, and then it took the movie The Karate Kid in 1984 to make it popular here in the U.S. The singer, Sarah Dellen, said it played on the dark side of summer songs. It looked at the oppressive heat, the misery of wanting to be with someone as the summer ticked by. And she notes, we've all been there. It's a place of waning hope and fleeting faith, where possibility and connection seem like they're someone else's. I found myself thinking about this song when we did the series because both of our scriptures point in a similar place today. They offer us a place, maybe you've been there before as well, the space of life that feels like that cruel summer. The psalmist offers us a lament, a common language of the Psalms in which you're granted permission to wail out from the deepest places of grief and anger, fear and frustration. I think it's interesting, this is one of the Psalms of Ascent. The Israelites sang on their way to the three festivals in the temple. Most of the Psalms of Ascent have joy and excitement as they're getting ready to go to the house of the Lord. And then there's Psalm 130. In the midst of the excitement of traveling to the temple, there was pain. The community sang this together ritually. The Reverend Benno Pattison says this, the human truth is embedded in the voice of the Psalms, the aggrieved, the marginalized. It needs to be that there is a place for us to speak in an ineffable tongue, sighing and groaning, the language of travail that is at once transcendent and imminent, that shares the origins, speaks to the mystery of creation, of an earth caught in bondage, groaning for redemption, for freedom, and for release. The human truth is the suffering. The God truth is the freedom, the presence, and the deliverance. In 2 Samuel, the voice of David continues to praise God, even in the midst of disappointment. Out of the depths, I cry to you, David says, and God, you have heard my voice and delivered me. We who have known deep depths, we who have known what it is to feel on our own, to feel abandoned, to feel as if there might not be a reason to continue. The voice of lament is the courageous voice of calling out to God when it seems like there's no one left to listen. As we followed the story of David this summer, we've heard quite a laundry list of reasons to feel abandoned. We've heard quite a list from David. We've heard about adultery and murder. We've heard about betrayal and being chosen. We've heard about the loss of children and dancing with unreserved joy and worship. We've heard David feel as though he's the one that was sought over hill and dale and that God might have left him. Maybe we know something about those feelings as well. I can remember it was not so long ago when a young man I babysat for a few years ago asked me to be part of a campus ministry that he had found at his university. He grew up in the church. In fact, he's a pastor's kid. But he'd known more than one season of a cruel summer. He struggled to stay in college, and out of the depths he cried to God and felt left by God's people. It was a campus ministry where he found hope. It was a place that was safe for him to bring his big questions that nobody else wanted to hear. It was a welcoming to him that said, "Come as you are, and here you will find God." It was open to him, and he came. It was a campus ministry that allowed him to voice lament and ultimately to find hope. Campus ministries, I think, are reaching a whole demographic that the church is not. Campus ministries that are thinking creatively about how do we offer the same message of Christ with different packaging than we always have. In a stage of life where lament needs to be vocalized, where angst is felt intimately, and to a generation who some have never walked through a door. I'm showing you up here in kind of small graphic, the Pew Research Center, a premier research think tank for religious life in America, released some data in May that paints this picture. They say this: a high percentage of millennial generations have entered adulthood as religious nuns. N-O-N-E-S. That is to say, they are either atheist, agnostic, or religion is nothing in particular. At the same time, the older millennials are saying, "I don't want the religious labels that I've associated with in the past." So this shows you 35% of millennial generations 1981 to 1996 are religiously unaffiliated, are lamenting, are saying, "Where is God? And God has found me out of the depths, but the church has not." Whenever I speak to people who consider themselves religiously unaffiliated, it seems like there's often a story in which they felt lament or pain, questions, or their less than perfect life. Didn't have a seat in the pew. There wasn't space for them. They feel, I'm here, like the young man I babysat so many years ago. It's hard to land on your feet when you're supposed to already have it figured out. Already. The song, "The Cruel Summer," came in the midst of the prosperity of the 1980s, when the larger feeling was everything was right with the world. The stock market was up, people had good jobs, it must be wonderful. And yet, somehow out of that, this song expressed the angst of a generation who said that while we're succeeding in business, we're wondering about life. Whenever I hear those kind of stories, I'm never surprised to hear that what accompanies them are stories about beaches and mountains, gardens, nature, sometimes golf courses as well, places where God might be found outside of the four walls of a church. I find myself wondering if the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are waiting for God there instead of waiting for God here. The variance from this week's summer song is that our psalm ends differently. We're not left feeling abandoned the way they do in "Cruel Summer." The video ends, if you might remember, feeling abandoned and what's going to happen next. In the psalm, in our experience of faith, we are waiting for God, the God who is faithful and has been faithful and will be faithful. Not looking around to whom can we turn, but leaning on the hope that we have in God. Barbara Brown Taylor says it this way: the great hope in the Christian message is not that you'll be rescued from the dark, but if you're able to trust God all the way into the dark, you may be surprised. I love her words. As Christians, we ought not be surprised that there are challenges and there are disappointments in this life. Instead, delighted by the presence and the faithfulness of God in the midst of each and every one of those trials and those challenges, those cruel summers that we wish we didn't have to experience. In the midst of each of those, we find God, we find others pointing us towards the light and towards the hope. My friends, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.